Our scripture reading comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 3. And this is a kind of a famous story in which Solomon has this dream. And the famous story that's behind Solomon's wisdom. But as I read and as you follow along, listen to how God sensed in Solomon something that was very unique. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father, David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and had given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." The word of the Lord. Holy God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever found yourself way over your head that you start praying to God for help? For some, in times of tension, people pray the Lord's Prayer. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or maybe the 23rd Psalm. Or praying the Lord's Prayer in such a way in the 23rd Psalm that we find maybe ourselves in a moment saying, "God, I need you. God, I need your help." Or some may have found themselves praying the prayer that Jesus said in Gethsemane, "Lord, not your will, not my will, but your will be done." It's in those moments of fear and desperation or even uncertainty that we all maybe have a favorite prayer that we pray to God, whether it be our Father who art in heaven, or the 23rd Psalm, or praying the prayer that Jesus prayed. But in those moments of uncertainty, our communication to God, whether spoken or unspoken, they kind of serve as lifelines when we need direction. Now, I have a new favorite prayer that was not spoken by a biblical character, not even a famous Christian, and not even by an adult. Recently heard from a story from a pastor friend of mine whose congregant told a story about bringing her son to the pool. This mother and son were there at their local swimming pool, and the boy, who was about 6 years old, wasn't quite a competent swimmer yet, but was able to swim in the shallow end. And this day, he decided he wanted to swim with the big kids and swim in the deep end. Now, if you think back way back in your memory as a kid, that's a pivotal moment. when you take a jump into the deep end and swim by yourself. Well, this boy, his feet were on the edge, and still not confident in his swimming ability, he stood on the edge and the mother watching very close by. And he started to jump, but then pulled back. And he even did one of these running, just kidding, I'm not going to jump in. And he had his toes on the edge of the pool, and he was peering into the pool. His mother could tell he was nervous, his heart was pounding. And suddenly he looked up into heaven, and he put his arms out before he jumped in and said, "Lord, give me skills or give me gills." And with that, he jumped in. Try that next time you're cliff jumping. "Lord, give me skills or give me gills." I love that prayer. That's my new favorite prayer every time I jump in the pool or the lake. Many people in the Bible, in their communication, in their prayers to God, have had a moment of desperation. And Solomon in our text today kind of had a "Lord, give me skills or give me gills" request from God. If you want to put this scripture in its proper place, remember that at this moment in Solomon's life, he is a very young boy. He has just taken the throne from his father, King David. Now, this is the same David who wrestled lions and bears and took down Goliath and was a great military leader, considered to be one of the greatest kings, and he ruled for 40 years. If you take Disciple Bible Study with me, we look at all the reign of the kings of Israel in the Old Testament. Some of them reigned just a few days, but David was among the most successful. 40 years was a long time to be king. So here Solomon realizes he has to follow his dad's act. Can you imagine that? Those are big shoes to fill. In 1 Kings, Solomon, in his dream, that he begins this conversation with God. So coming off of the success of his father, Solomon could have asked for anything. Military might, wealth, strength, fame. But no, Solomon's sensing this great over his head impending future that was coming towards him. He asks for a mind to govern wisely God's people. Well, God, he likes what he hears. So he gives to Solomon what he asks, because he didn't ask for fame or strength or any of those other things that his father had. God says that he indeed will give a wise and discerning mind. But not only this, Solomon will live a long life. When you think of people who are really, really smart in human history, who comes to mind? Aristotle, Einstein, Stephen Hawking. Have you ever put Solomon on that list? He's said to be among the many wisest, even writing several books in the Old Testament. Is Solomon really the smartest guy who ever lived? Well, we live in a world where information is at our ready, at our fingertips. I don't know about you, but my cell phone, I must look at that thing 20, 30, 40 times a day. It's dinging, text messages, notifications. I mean, we have vast sums of information. I still remember the time when people came to your door to sell encyclopedias. We don't do that anymore. I asked a teenager in the 8 o'clock service, I said, "Do you have any encyclopedias in your home?" And he's like, "I don't even know what those things are." No, we have Wikipedia online. That's where all the information's are. Just as much as we are economic consumers, we are also information consumers. We want to know what's going on in pop culture, the stock market, politics, or the latest uses for shiplap. We want to know it all. Some of the more trendier ladies among us got that joke. However, Scripture makes an important distinction between knowledge and wisdom. From Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, we read, "The Lord gives wisdom; from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So there's a difference between Solomon just knowing information. Knowledge is important, don't get me wrong. Facts, truth, science, language, education, all of that. But wisdom, Wisdom is fundamentally different. Wisdom is the ability to discern, to make choices that provide the greatest benefit. And probably one of the most beautiful passages of the Bible, seldom read, is Proverbs chapter 8. I encourage you to go home and read Proverbs chapter 8. It's not very long, but it's very poetic. And in this passage, wisdom takes on a personal, divine, blessed, an eternal sense. In this chapter, we read, "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just." And I like how it ends. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. My fruit is better than fine gold that I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness along the paths of justice." Clearly for God, wisdom is not just about what we know and how to apply it, but wisdom is more than our personal choices like where I should go to school or what job I should take or what cars should I buy that Consumer Reports says is going to last the longest. No, wisdom is more than that. If we take Proverbs chapter 8 seriously, then wisdom is about yielding the fruit of our abilities. It's about rejecting pride and about making wrongs right, not only for us, but for other people. Wisdom is not only about I, but wisdom involves how we make choices that will impact others for their good. Wisdom invokes justice and peace and care for all people around us, not just our friends, not just our family, not just the people we like, but for everyone. Solomon would need these gifts to be a good king. This past week, I read an incredible news story of someone who put wisdom into action. In St. Paul, Minnesota, this past week, for no particular reason, a beverage delivery man decided to take a different route to deliver his cargo. Kimi Anderson was driving his truck, and as he drove it onto a bridge, he noticed that there was a man on the other side of a fence looking down at the highway below. And so Anderson shouted to the man, "Hey, what are you doing over there? Come on, come down." And the man responded that he was on the ledge and he was thinking about jumping. And so Anderson called 911. And the dispatcher told him to hold off and wait till the police arrived. But Anderson, he just couldn't wait. He recalled, "I'm thinking it's either I'm going to help this guy or he's going to jump. I got to keep this guy entertained somehow because if I wait for the police, things could be over quickly." So for the next hour, even after police arrived, Anderson talked to the man. He asked him his name, where he grew up, whether he had kids. He found out that he lived just a few blocks from the bridge and that he had children and that he was originally from Chicago. And the man said, "Chicago's a tough neighborhood. I grew up in a tough hood just like you." And Anderson kept asking the man questions after questions. Did he want something to eat? No, he wasn't hungry. But Anderson thought, "I've got to give this guy something to keep him occupied and focused." So what did the beverage delivery man do? He reached into his truck and he grabbed a beer. And he gave it to the man and said, "This can be yours if you just come down. Let's talk. You can open it up and let's talk together." Well, after a few moments, the man came down to talk and slowly came to safety where emergency responders took the man in an ambulance to transport him to the hospital to care for his mental needs. But the story ends with a pretty important commentary. The police sergeant that was overseeing the whole scene said this: "The really good thing is that a person driving by saw what was going on and recognized there was someone in a crisis, and that he could make a difference by stopping and talking." What is wisdom, really? Is it the ability to know when or when not to invest in the stock market? Is it the ability to decide what job is best for your career path? Is it the ability to pick the best lawnmower at Home Depot? If we want to talk about wisdom, the type of wisdom that Solomon sought, that wisdom is the ability to embody the discernment of what is right, not just for ourselves, but for other people. People we may not even know. True godly wisdom goes beyond personal decision making. A delivery guy from Minnesota embodied the type of wisdom, a wisdom of the heart, to seek and do good for someone else. Now, this guy wasn't a crisis negotiator. He didn't have a degree in psychology. He didn't have a degree in rhetoric. He simply answered the call of someone who was in need. He showed a wise love to someone he didn't even know. Normally read at weddings, 1 Corinthians 13 states that no matter our knowledge base, what is truly important? St. Paul wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, of people, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing." Many think that God gave Solomon wisdom because he didn't ask for anything for himself. But actually, if you go back to the text, if you go back to the beginning of the text, we begin to see why God gave Solomon wisdom. God saw where Solomon's heart was. We read in the beginning of that text, Solomon loved God. And he showed it. God gave Solomon wisdom not just because he had a huge challenge over his head challenge in front of him, but because he loved the Lord. And not only that, he walked in the teachings of his father David, which means he understood what Jesus so beautifully put into two ideas when asked to summarize the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to be wise, don't think about wisdom about just what's up here in your mind, but think about what comes from here in your heart. You don't need a degree or a certification to have a wise heart. God has given a wisdom in your heart that you can tap into. A wise heart of love that serves a meal at the Samaritan Center or helps someone in need when you're passing by. Wisdom is not just about what you know. Wisdom is listening to God about how we love others. Wisdom, a truly wise heart, is the ability of taking your love that's in your heart, your wise love, and loving those around you. God first saw Solomon's love for loving God and loving God's ways. And God gave Solomon not just a wise mind, the scripture says, but a wise heart. May you this week know that God's wisdom about what is just and right is not just about you, but may you expand in your capacity for wisdom by loving others and doing what is right for them. May you remember that wisdom starts with love, and ends with action. Next time you see someone in need, use your wise heart to reach out in concern and love and justice for them. Let us pray. God, it's so easy to see Solomon's request to you almost in a sense of desperation. Here's a little boy way over his head asking to you for help. But God, help us to see that, Lord, you didn't give Solomon just a wise mind, but the scripture says you gave your servant a discerning heart, a wise heart. God, help us to see that no matter our abilities or our knowledge or lack of knowledge, that God, you give all of us the wisdom in our hearts. It doesn't take a degree. It doesn't take smarts to just love someone on the street, to do something kind for strangers, for those in our community. Help us to see this week that true godly wisdom is not just what's in our minds, but God, you give it to us in our hearts. Help us to administer that good justice and fairness and love to all that we encounter this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.